الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، شرح العقيدة الوسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه، لشرح of the noble شيخ بن عثيمين، شيخ بن محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين عليه رحمة الله تعالى. And in our last session we were discussing the levels of belief in Qadr. We said they are at different levels, they are not on one single level. And the first of which we said, to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal knows what the creation will be doing, what the creation will do according to His permanent or everlasting or infinite knowledge, which He's always been described with. You know, the everlasting and the forever knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we stopped at the statement, بِعِلْمِهِ الْقَدِيمِ قَوْلِهِ بِعِلْمِهِ الْقَدِيمِ, according to his ancient knowledge, if you want to translate it linguistically. الْقَدِيمِ فِي اصْطِلَاحِهِمْ هُوَ الَّذِي لَا أَوَّلِ ابْتِدَائِهِ. Now when the ulama of Aqeedah, when they use the term qadim, they mean that which has no beginning. That which has no beginning. You with me? That which has no beginning. أي أنه لم يزل فيما مضى من الأزمنة التي لا نهاية لها علما بما علمه الخلق. Meaning he is always known, going back in times and back until an infinite. Right, infinity. He knew what the people, what the creation would be doing. There's no beginning point. There's no initiation point.
Before the qadr.
Time out. That will come. That will come. So do not get confused. Okay? بخلاف القديم في اللغة. This is unlike the term قديم linguistically. Because you know what قديم means?
Old.
Old. فقد يراد به مكان قديم من نسبيا. What could be intended when you say قديم, that which is old in reference or in relevance to something else. For example, والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم. And so Allah Azza wa Jal decreed for the moon these stages until it became like an old dried curved date stock. Okay, so here, قديم is what? Old. So the Shaykh said, وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ عُرْجُونَ النَّخْلَ لَيْسَ بِقَدِيمٍ أَزَلِهِ. We know that the stalk of the palm tree is not something that is eternal, not something that is forever and everlasting. بَلْ قَدِيمٌ بِالنِّسْبَ لِمَا بَعْدَهِ. It is old in comparison to what came after it. فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَوْصُوفٌ بِأَنَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِمَا الْخَلْقُ عَامِلُونَ بِعِلْمِهِ الْقَدِيمِ الْأَزَلِي. Then Allah is described as the one who is knowing or who knows what the creation will be doing according to His everlasting salam knowledge. الَّذِي لَا نِهَايَةَ لِأَوَّلِهِ, the one in which to which there is no end for its beginning. Meaning there is no beginning for it, in other words. That which has no beginning. عَالِمٌ جَلَّ وَعَلَى بِأَنَّ هَذَا الْإِنسَانِ سَيَعْمَلْ كَذَا فِي يَوْمِ كَذَا. Obviously it's before the pen. That's obvious. But we will see, because that is going to come inshallah. Knowing what the person will do he will do such and such on such and such day. Okay? في مكان كذا, in such and such place. بعلمه القديم الأول فيجب أن نؤمن بذلك. According to his everlasting knowledge. We must believe in that. ودليل ذلك من الكتاب والسنة والعقل. And the reference or the evidence for that can be sought from the Quran, from the Sunnah, and
intellect,
عقل. أي. أما الكتاب, as for the Book of Allah, فما أكثر الآيات التي فيها العموم في علم الله. How abundant are the آيات which mention the knowledge of Allah عز وجل. مثل والله بكل شيء عليم. And Allah is knowing of each and everything. إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. Verily Allah is concerning everything, all knowing. ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما. Our Lord, you have encompassed everything in mercy and knowledge. لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So that they will know that Allah is able to do all things and that Allah has encompassed everything in His knowledge or with His knowledge. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي لَا تُحْصَى كَثْرَةً. Until the end of quotations of or ayat, which we cannot really enumerate. أَمَّا فِي السُّنَّةِ. As for the sunnah, فإن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر بأن الله كتب مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, informed us that Allah had written the measurements of the creation before He created the heavens and the earth in 50,000 years. You better remember that day or that duration or that span of time, 50,000 years. وَبِأَنَّ مَا أَصَابَ الْإِنسَانَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ. And that whatever befalls a person, it was never to miss him. Nothing befell you except that was meant to miss you. Everything has been decreed by Allah. وَمَا أَخْطَاهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. And whatsoever missed you was never to befall you. Now, no, that's the other one. This is the hadith. Now, but this is the hadith of Abbas. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْخَلْقَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا إِلَى آخِرِهِ. وَأَنَّ الْأَقْلَامَ قَدْ جَفَّتْ وَطُوِيَتْ صُحُفْ. And that's the evidence. And that the pens have dried and the sheets have been folded. خلاص. Whatever decreed. And the hadith, there are a couple of narrations which support this particular teaching. وَالْأَحَدِيثُ كَثِيرًا. However, the narrations are abundant. وَأَمَّا الْعَقْلِ. As for intellect, فَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ بِالْعَقْلِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْخَالِقِ. I mean, intellectually, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. وَأَنَّ مَا سِوَاهُ مَخْلُوقٌ. And whatever besides Allah is
creation.
Created or creation. Good. وَلَا بُدَّ عَقْلًا أَن نَكُونَ الْخَالِقَ عَالِمًا بِمَخْلُوقِهِ. Intellectually, logically, the one who creates, the creator must know everything concerning his creation. Doesn't make any sense. He created it. If he created it, how does he not know about it? Doesn't make any sense, logically speaking. وَقَدْ أَشَارَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِ أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And Allah has made reference to that when He said in Surah Al-Mulk, does He not know what He created? In other words, is He not supposed to know what He created? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is the one who is most gentle, most kind, most courteous, and the one who is well aware, well acquainted with everything we do, خبير. فَالْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةُ وَالْعَقْلُ كُلُّهَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَالِمٌ بِمَا الْخَلْقُ عَامِلُونَ بِعِلْمِهِ الْأَزَلِي. So then the Quran and the Sunnah and intellect, all of them allude to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything that the creation will be doing according to His everlasting, permanent, infinite knowledge. قَوْلُهُ الَّذِي هُوَ مَوْصُوفٌ بِهِ أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا. The knowledge which Allah is described with, أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا, meaning no beginning, no end. Okay? No beginning, no end. فَبِكَوْنِهِ مَوْصُوفًا بِهِ أَزَلًا نَفْيٌ لِلْجَهْلِ. Now this is very important. When we say that Allah has always known this according to His ancient knowledge, which has no beginning, this negates ignorance. This negates Allah being ignorant of anything. You with me? This negates Allah being ignorant of anything. وَفِي قَوْنِ مَوْصُوفًا بِأَبَدًا نَفْيِ النِّسْيَانِ. And the fact that it is everlasting until infinity, there isn't really anything, infinity is just infinity, this negates forgetfulness. So when we say أَزَلًا, we're negating Allah being ignorant of anything. When we say abadan, we're negating Allah forgetting anything. So there's neither ignorance nor forgetfulness. When we say Allah knows everything, meaning there's nothing that Allah that will be out of His knowledge, or that Allah will miss out on something. He won't be ignorant of anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He won't forget anything either. And we have evidences for that as well. ولهذا كان علم الله كان الولد سعيدا. نعم كان علم الله عز وجل غير مسبوق بجهل ولا ملحوق بنسيان. This is why the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal was never preceded by ignorance, nor is it followed by forgetfulness. كما قال موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام لفرعون, just as Musa had said to Fir'aun, قال علمها عند ربي في كتاب لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. The knowledge of that is in a record, is in a book with my Lord. And Allah Azza wa Jal is neither unaware nor does He forget. لا يضل. The ulama say the dalal which is being used here in this ayah in reference to Allah is not the dalal of deviance. When we say ولا الضالين أو ضل فلان, what is intended by that is unawareness. Unawareness, like someone is lost in this sense, and not the dalal of being deviated from a path which leads to some guidance, because Allah is the one who guides. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't apply to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dalal here that the ulama speak of, this yadillu, meaning he's not unaware of anything, nor does he forget, subhanahu. This is Surah Taha ayah 52. بِخِلَافِ عِلْمِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. This is unlike the knowledge of the creation. الْمَصْبُوقُ بِالْجَهْلِ وَالْمَلْحُوقُ بِالنِّسْيَانِ, which is preceded by ignorance and followed by forgetfulness. Isn't that our condition? What did you know when you were born? Nothing. And how many things did you learn? A lot. If we were just to bring all the books which we learned from preschool until we graduated, you should be an encyclopedia, right? You should know everything in this world. How many of the things you learned in school do you remember? You tell someone 7 times 6? Let me pull out my calculator. Come on, ya Sheikh. Jadwal Darb, you know that. The table of multiplication, I mean, at least these we should have them intact. Some of the things you shouldn't forget, right? Some of the basic physics, basic chemistry, basic biology, basic historical facts, geography. I mean, some things you should... But, you know, the truth of the matter is, most people forget. People become, you know, professors. And they forgot what they learned in school just after they get their, you know, their degrees. So it's really strange what's happening to the human beings nowadays. Nevertheless, that proves the point that our knowledge was preceded by ignorance, and once we have it, we forget. Yeah. How many times we've asked you to quote some ayat? We didn't get any answers. Now, that tells you something. إِذَنْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَالِمٌ بِمَا الْخَلْقُ عَامِلُونَ بِعِلْمٍ سَابِقٌ مَوْصُوفٌ بِهِ أَزَنْ وَعَبَدًا. Again, the Shaykh, رحمه الله, repeats, so the information may, you know, be ingrained, I guess, in our mind. So we won't forget. So we still manage to forget somehow. Again, the Shaykh repeats. So then we say, we must believe that Allah knows everything the creation did, will do, anything that any tense, use any tense you want, according to His everlasting, infinite knowledge, which is always and forever, is you know, with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not something that, you know, came into existence. قَوْلُهُ عَلِمَ جَمِيعَ أَحْوَالِهِمْ من الطاعات والمعاصي والأرزاق والأجال. Now we're going to do some vocabulary now, or some translation. He has known all of their affairs, from ta'at, and those who speak, those who are bilingual, please don't get involved yet. I mean, all of you are bilingual to some extent, but those whose Arabic is still being refined. Ta'at. Ta'at. What does it mean? Abdul Majid, where did you categorize yourself?
Regent.
So you categorize yourself with those who know the language, mashallah. Ta'at, you've done well. Ta'at are obedience. Right? Is it jama' mudhakkar salim, jama' muannath salim, jama' taksir? You're thinking about it?
Amr buta.
Tamar buta? هذه تمر بوطة يا رجال. This is تمر بوطة. Where's the board marker? This is a تمر بوطة. This long boat with two dots.
That is مفتوح.
ممدودة مفتوحة ما في. Which is the ta marbuta? The circle one.
Saqil.
With the two dots. The one we said at the end of the ayah, you should pronounce it as a ha. Remember in the dars of tafsir, Abdul Majid.
Haqiqa.
لا. Al-qari'ah. Mal-qari'ah. وما أدراك ما القارعة نار حامية عيشة راضية. You must do that if you lead in people in salah or if you pray by yourself, because that's the book of Allah, that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. If you're unable to do it, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But if you can't do it, you have to make that effort and bring the ha into it. The ha must be heard in all of these ayat which end with ta marbuta or with a ha. على كل حال, that is the ta marbuta. This is ta'at جمع مؤنث سالم. والمعاصي, you give up already, mashallah, tabarakallah. From the first try, what does ma'asi mean?
This dua, ma'ashi wa aqibati amri.
Ayy ma'ashi, Shaykh, ma'asi.
Oh, this ma'asi.
You've never heard the word ma'asiya? Ma'asiyat al-rasool, wa man ya'asi allaha wa rasoolah. Asayta min qabl. Usat. Wallah, I need the asa, wallah. Wallah, I need the asa up in here.
Understand, stick, you need a stick.
And then, now you understand, huh? That's what you need. You do need a stick. Ma'asi is sins. Ma'asiya is an act of disobedience. An act of disobedience. A sin. Ma'asiya, singular. Plural, jam' taksir. You don't say ma'asiyat. You say ma'asi. That's the last time we will say this, inshallah. Sins. طيب والأرزاق, ها مدير أرزاق, رزق, رزق. We always say رزق. Oh Allah, رزق.
جمع
جمع. شوف طول بالك, عطينا meaning. الله يصلحك. رزق, what does it mean? Good sustenance or provision. ما في مشكلة. أرزاق, provisions. It's a plural of رزق. Rizq is singular, arzaq is plural, alhamdulillah. And the last one, ajal, that's a tough one. Even you, the naive, how are you going to bring it in English? Ajal. Muhammad. Ajal. Abdul Majid.
Lifespan.
Dangerous, Abdul Majid. Ajal, lifespan. أجل الإنسان, meaning the duration of life he will live on this earth. Excellent. So I hope you remember those ta'at, obedience, ma'asi, sins or disobedience, arzaq, provisions, and ajal, excuse me, lifespans. So Allah Azza wa Jal knows all of these affairs of ours, the acts of worship, and we will see what the Shaykh will say. وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ مَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق. The evidence for that is a hadith you find in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. He said the Prophet ﷺ narrated to us, or he told us, and he is a صادق المصدوق. What does that mean? صادق. Truthful. How about that? مصدوق. Entrusted. Good. The one who's entrusted. Ahsant. Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi ila akhir al-hadith. They didn't quote the whole hadith. You know it. 40 yawman. 120 days, the bottom line. That one of you will be gathered in the womb of his mother for 40 days as a alaqa, mudgha, nutfa. Then alaqa, anyways, I forgot the actual wording of the hadith. Nevertheless, the Shaykh didn't quote it. It mentions the stages, the embryology of the fetus. Yani the three, and it's 40 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, four times. Four stages. 30 days each. How many is that? 120. After the 120, the angel will blow the soul into the infant or the fetus. This is why, according to the ulama, if a child dies before the 120 days of pregnancy, there's no janazah, no burial, nothing. You just dispose him in a decent manner, of course. If he reaches 120 days, meaning the soul has been blown into him, then he is treated as a regular deceased person, and janazah prayer is held, and everything, you know, name is given to him. Some of the ulama say even aqiqah is to be done, according to some of the ulama. You follow me? So that's the fine line, 120 days, according to the Prophet ﷺ. And we believe him more than we believe any doctor or scientist on earth, because these people don't know jack. Until today, they're still confused. Every day they discover something which wind up nullifying what they had discovered before. And they continue to discover things. So if you rely on science, you will go straight. You rely on revelation, you will never go straight. Believe me, even if some scientific theory now contradicts something in Islam, you will see, after some hundreds of years, they will find out that back in the year 2010, people were retarded and didn't know what science really was. And Allah knows how many years after they discovered that what Islam taught was always the correct thing. Because science is something which is unstable. It continues to develop. The more technology, the more modern technology, the more equipment and tools they use, the more discoveries they make. So it doesn't, there's no end point for it. So on what basis do they say this is this and this is that? You take the Quran and the Sunnah as the most reliable resource concerning anything in life. If science agrees with it, alhamdulillah. Sayyidina fi mushkila will use it for da'wah if it will help this person become a Muslim. Otherwise we don't need it. We don't really need it. Nor do we need what these scientists have to say. Now, وَذَكَرَ أَطْوَارُ الْجَنِينَ Prophet ﷺ then mentioned the stages of the embryo. وَفِيهِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَلِكًا أو مَلَكًا عَفْوًا. Then I see the importance of the language. Because if you say مَلِكًا, it means a king. And if you say مَلَكًا, it means an angel. So that lam, كَسْرَة versus فَتْحَة will give you a huge difference in meaning. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ Then Allah will send forth an angel who will be commanded with four words, or four decrees if we may call them. وَيُقَالَ لَهُ اُكْتُبْ عَمَلَهُ Write his deeds. وَرِزْقَهُ His sustenance, provision. وَأَجَلَهُ His lifespan. وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ And whether he will be miserable or happy and content. وَذَكَرَ تَمَامُ الْحَدِيثِ And he mentioned the rest of the narration. فَاللَّهُ عَالِمُ بِذَلِكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ الْإِنسَانِ So Allah knows about all of these before the human being is even created. It's already known what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and how long you're going to live and what's your final destination, what sustenance you're going to get, the exact amount, you know, if you want to say it per halala, according to the halala. If it's, you know, 10 million riyals and that exactly what Allah has provided or decreed you will get as provision, it's going to come to you. That's why don't depend on your boss. Because your boss is not the provider of the sustenance, it is Allah. He's just something that Allah used him, that a person in the chain that, you know, Allah decreed for you to receive your sustenance. If he doesn't do it, someone else will. And so that's why we should not compromise the Islamic teachings to please the mudir. He says, Wallah, you have to pray here and you cannot pray in the masjid. And they say, listen man, time out. You know what I'm saying? This is the right of Allah. I hear the adhan in the masjid. Salaam alaikum. I'm out. You like it? Barakallah. If you don't like it, take a hike. I'll change my work. You use this language sometimes. You have to. Because if you don't, if you miss a nice guy, they will continue to take advantage of you until you have nothing left. Then next thing you know, it says you must shave your beard and change your clothes and divorce your wife. Hey, what do you want from me, man? It's my life. I'm a Muslim. What Allah told me to do, I'm going to do. Some people have no limits, by the way. The more you give them, the more they will try to take. You put your own border, which no one can go against. Say, listen, these are my rights. I want to dress the way I like, look the way I like, pray the way I like. Now you hired me for what? To do work. That work I'm going to do for you. What I'm going to do in terms of my appearance, my salah, is not going to affect my job. If it is affecting your job, then it's a problem with us. But your contract with them is not how you lead your life. You see what I'm saying? If in non-Muslim countries one is able to go pray in a masjid, I don't know how here someone manages to pray in the musalla. Specifically when in the musalla you led in salah by someone who should never lead people in salah. And I've seen them. People, you know, in the salah dancing like this. You see, you don't know who the imam is. Doesn't know how to recite the Fatiha. Doesn't give you the chance to recite the Fatiha. He's not qualified. Whereas you pray in a masjid, there's an imam, a designated imam. He's absent, the muadzin is there. Yani there's some sort of system. If once in a blue moon, some random person leads you in salah, you've done your job. But the masjid is unlike the musalla. So anyways, the bottom line is, let's always remember that. The boss is nothing but a person. He's not the provider. And Allah will test us in our jobs. When we come to a point where we have to make a choice between Allah and His Messenger and the dunya, what do we choose? If we choose Allah and His Messenger, you will never lose. You may lose that job, but you will not lose with Allah. Because what Allah has planned for you will be way better, but you just don't see it. How do you see it? With your iman. With your yaqeen in Allah, you see that the job which is coming is better than this one, because I only lost my job for the sake of Allah. With your yaqeen, you rely upon Allah. If you don't have enough iman, you will never make the move. Just be scared, always be scared. Ma fi mushkila. You do what you want, I will obey. Why? He's the one giving me the check. But he's not. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. And the angel wrote that before you were born. Hey. فطاعاتنا معلومة لله. Our acts of obedience are known to Allah. ومعاصينا معلومة لنا صلى الله عليه وسلم. And our sins are known to Allah. وأرزاقنا معلومة له. And our sustenance, provision is known to Him. وأجالنا معلومة له. And our lifespans are known to Him. إذا مات الإنسان بسبب معلوم أو بغير سبب معلوم فإنه لله معلوم. If you die for a reason which you know, for a reason which you know not, for Allah it is known. Some people, they just die out of nowhere. And they don't know, the doctors say, what is it, a heart attack? Or they don't know what the real cause was. Whatever that is. Or you may know that it's cancer, a stage, I don't know what, and khalas, the person is towards the end of his life. Whether you know or you don't know to Allah, it is known. That's one. وَلَا يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ. This is no secret. It's not hidden from Allah Azza wa Jal. بِخِلَافِ عِلْمِ الْإِنسَانِ بِأَجَلِهِ. Unlike you knowing your own lifespan. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفْ أَجَلِهِ. You don't know your own lifespan. To Allah this is known. Whether you wind up knowing that you're approaching or not, doesn't matter. But the knowledge of it is for Allah. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفْ أَيْنَ يَمُوتْ. You don't know where you will die. وَلَا مَتَى يَمُوتْ. And you don't know when you will die. You don't know where, you don't know when. وَلَا يَعْرِفْ بِأَيِّ سَبَبٍ يَمُوتْ. And you don't know what would be the reason behind your death either. وَلَا يَعْرِفْ عَلَى أَيِّ حَالٍ يَمُوتْ. And you don't know in which condition you will die. Will you be obeying Allah or disobeying Allah? نَسَى اللَّهُ حُسْنَ الْخَاتِمَةِ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the good end. Now who can give us an ayah, an evidence from the Quran for that teaching? Come on. An ayah which speaks about place of death, time of death. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيَنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتِ. No soul knows what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul knows in which land it will die. This is one, obviously, ayah. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Wheresoever you may be, death will overtake you. Even if you are behind, you know, fortresses. Fortresses that are covering you, protecting you, as the angels of death. The angel of death doesn't have any such thing. He doesn't need a pass, doesn't need to go through security check, and he doesn't need any bodyguards to stop anyone. He needs to go straight to the person. If he's the president of a country and he has a whole army waiting outside to protect him, the angel of death will just go through everyone, take him and go. No one can say, hey, this is the president, this is the mudir, this is nothing. Done deal. Because he comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. إذن وهذا هو الشيء الأول من الدرجة الأولى. So this is the first thing concerning the first level of our belief in Qadr. قوله ثم كتب الله في اللوح المحفوظ مقادير الخلق. Then Allah Azza wa Jal wrote in the اللوح المحفوظ. You can say the preserved tablet or the guarded. Guarded from guard. Guarded tablet. Both are adequate translations. مقادير الخلق, the measurement of the creation. And we don't mean by measurement, and the measurement we said, we explained earlier what is intended by that. In everything which is pertaining to them. But it's by due measure, though. It's by measure. It's not haphazard. It is not random. It is fixed. It's measured by Allah Azza wa Jal. An exact measurement. Now, who can give us an ayah which has Allah al Mahfuz? Wallah al-Azim ya Jama'at al-Khair, I'm gonna get gray hair very soon with you, brothers.
Allah
ta'ala hadithul ghashiyah. Atta ghashiyah, shaykh amaliyah, salam alaykum, Muhammad. Huh? طيب بس نبغى اللوح المحفوظ يا جماعة the end of the Quran سورة البروج بل هو قرآن مجيد
في لوح المحفوظ
وبعدين your mind should always be bringing these back, you know, always bring them in your mind. Hey, another, it comes another ayat as well. Who can think of another ayat? Well, just leave it alone. There's another ayah.
Homework.
Maybe may we homework. We had a homework before. What happened to it? What was your homework before?
Homeworks. You never asked about homeworks.
You're actually the studious students are the ones who say, you know, Mister, we had a homework. Here it is. You don't wait for the teacher to ask you for the homework. Where's the homework? We'll deal with that later, inshallah, because everything is on record, by the way. Major embarrassment. إذن اللوح المحفوظ, the Shaykh said, لا نعرف ماهيته. We don't know what it is. من أي شيء. What is it made of? من خشب, أم من خشب, is it made out of wood? أم من حديد, is it made out of iron? Or steel? أم من ذهب, is it made out of gold? أم من فضة, is it made out of silver? أم من زمرد, or from emerald? We don't know what it's made of. We don't know. فالله أعلم بذلك. Allah knows best. إنما نؤمن بأن هناك لوحا كتب الله فيه مقادير كل شيء. What we do know is we believe that there's a tablet in which Allah had written the measurements of everything. وليس لنا الحق في أن نبحث وراء ذلك. And we have no right to go searching or fetching beyond that. Why? Who can give us the silencing answer with which if you know you answer this, you'll be able to answer thousands of masail which the people of innovation and the people of innovation often bring forth and cause fitna among the Muslims. What is the silencing answer for this one? لا لا not even close.
It's nothing like
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was told, as we're supposed to know, he wasn't told, that's not supposed to know.
Beautiful. We can add something to that. We said it in the beginning of the book, you guys missed the beginning of the book. Look, ask anyone, where, let's say I'm the teacher. Am I more knowledgeable than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you more keen on learning the deen than the Sahaba? So if one who was more knowledgeable than the speaker now was in the presence or in the company of those who were more keen on learning and they never had this conversation, so why are we having this conversation? If they had asked him, he would have been the most knowledgeable to answer. And they loved the knowledge so much that if this was a sound, valid question, believe me, they would have asked him. The fact that the Sahaba deliberately never asked this question, even though among them was the Messenger of Allah, who definitely would know, and if he didn't know, Jibreel would bring the revelation. If they never had this conversation, why are we having this conversation? Because neither are you more keen than they are, nor am I more knowledgeable than the Messenger of Allah to answer you. So this is why we say to anything that the people, how did Allah rise above His throne? None of your business. That's what it is. Because the Sahaba heard the ayat, they never asked the Messenger of Allah. Meaning this is something that shouldn't be asked. And asking it is an innovation. You're asking a question which Islam doesn't allow you to ask. Because we were taught that the khayrun nas, qarni, the best of people, my generation. And he said, mayuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fi din, whoever Allah intends goodness for, He will give him understanding of the deen. Meaning they understood the deen the most. Because he said, khayrun nas, and if Allah intends goodness for you, He will give you fiqh. So they are afqahun nas. You see that? Anyone who brings anything along these lines, which has no bait, there's nothing in the Quran Sunnah about it, say, listen, you don't have the right to ask this question. Because what I explained to you a few seconds ago. Jameel. Idan, لكن لو جاء في الكتاب والسنة ما يدلنا على شيء فالواجب أن نعتقده. But if we had an evidence in the Quran and Sunnah about this subject matter, then it is compulsory on us to believe in it. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude. It's going to get very interesting, by the way. The next class, inshallah, will be dealing with the actual, in what sense is it guarded? Why is it called the guarded tablet or the preserved tablet? And we will deal with the whole concept of the pen, the creation of the pen, and Allah commanding the pen to write everything down. And how that took place, and all the explanation of that particular hadith, according to Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.